The Ring and the Book by Robert Browning, Book 6, Part 6. Oh, sirs, depend on me for much new light thrown on the justice and religion here by this proceeding. Much fresh food for thought. And I was just set down to study these in relegation 2 short days ago, admiring how you read the rules when pop! A thunder comes into my solitude. I am caught up in a whirlwind and cast here, told of a sudden in this room where so late you dealt out law adroitly, that those scales I meekly bowed to, took my allotment from, Guido has snatched at, broken in your hands, meets to himself the murder of his wife, full measure, pressed down, running over now. Can I assist to an explanation? Yes. I rise in your esteem, sagacious sirs, stand up a renderer of reasons, not the officious priest would personate St. George for a mock princess in undragoned days. What? The blood startles you? What, after all, the priest who needs must carry sword on thigh may find imperative use for it? Then, there was a princess, was a dragon belching flame, and should have been a St. George also? Then there might have been worse schemes than to break the bonds at Arezzo, lead her by the little hand till she reached Rome, and let her try to live? Oh, but you were law and gospel. Would one please stand back, allow your faculty elbow room? You blind guides who must needs lead eyes that see, fools alike ignorant of man and God. What was there here should have perplexed your wit for a wink of the owl eyes of you? How miss, then, what's now forced on you by this flare of fact? As if St. Peter failed to recognize Nero as no apostle, John or James, till someone burned a martyr, made a torch of the blood and fat to show his features by. Could you fail read this cartulary aright on head and front of Franceschini there? Large-lettered, like hell's masterpiece of print, that he, from the beginning pricked at heart by some lust lech of hate against his wife, plotted to plague her into overt sin and shame, would slay Pompilia body and soul, and save his mean self, miserably caught in the quagmire of his own tricks, cheats, and lies. That himself wrote those papers, from himself to himself, which in the name of me and her, his mistress messenger gave her and me, touching us with such pustules of the soul, that she and I might take the taint, be shown to the world, and shuddered over, speckled so. That the agent put her sense into my words, made substitution of the thing she hoped for the thing she had and held, its opposite, while the husband in the background bit his lips at each fresh failure of his precious plot. That when at the last we did rush, each on each, by no chance, but because God willed it so, the spark of truth was struck from out our souls, made all of me, descried in the first glance, seem fair and honest and permissible love of the good and true. As the first glance told me, there was no duty patent in the world like daring try to be good and true myself, leaving the shows of things to the Lord of Show and Prince of the Power of Air. Our very flight, even to its most ambiguous circumstance, irrefragably proved how futile, false. Why, men! Men and not boys! Boys and not babes! Babes and not beasts! Beasts and not stocks and stones! Had the liar's lie been true one pinpoint speck, were I the accepted suitor, free of the place, disposer of the time, to come at a call and go at a wink, as who should say me nay? What need of flight? What were the gain therefrom but just damnation, failure or success? Damnation pure and simple to her the wife and me the priest, who bartered private bliss for public reprobation, the safe shade for the sunshine which men see to pelt me by. What other advantage? We who led the days and nights alone in the house, was flight to find! In our whole journey did we stop an hour, diverge a foot from straight road till we reached, or would have reached, but for that fate of ours, the father and mother, in the eye of Rome, the eye of yourselves we made aware of us at the first fall of misfortune? And indeed, you did so far give sanction to our flight, confirm its purpose, as lend helping hand, deliver up Pompilia not to him she fled, but those the flight was ventured for. Why then could you, who stopped short, not go on one poor step more, and justify the means, having allowed the end? Not see and say, here's the exceptional conduct that should claim to be exceptionally judged on rules which, understood, make no exception here. Why play instead into the devil's hands by dealing so ambiguously as gave Guido the power to intervene like me? Prove one exception more. I saved his wife against law. Against law he slays her now. Deal with him! I have done with being judged. I stand here, guiltless in thought, word, and deed, to the point that I apprise you, in contempt for all misapprehending ignorance of the human heart, much more the mind of Christ, that I assuredly did bow, was blessed, by the revelation of Pompilia. There! Such is the final fact I fling you, sirs, to mouth and mumble and misinterpret. There! The priest's in love. Have it the vulgar way. Unpriest me. Rend the rags of the vestment, do! Degrade deep. Disenfranchise all you dare. Remove me from the midst, no longer priest and fit companion for the like of you. Your gay abati with the well-turned leg and rose in the hat-rim, cannons cross at neck and silk mask in the pocket of the gown, brisk bishops with the world's musk still unbrushed from the rochet. I'll know more of these good things. There's a crack somewhere, something that's unsound in the rattle. From Pompilia, be advised. Build churches. Go pray. You will find me there, I know, if you come. And you will come, I know. Why, there's a judge weeping. Did not I say you were good and true at bottom? You see the truth. I am glad I helped you. She helped me just so. But for Count Guido, you must counsel there. I bow my head, bend to the very dust, break myself up in shame of faultiness. I had him, one whole moment, as I said, as I remember, as will never out of the thoughts of me. I had him in arm's reach, there, as you stand, sir, now you cease to sit. I could have killed him ere he killed his wife, and did not. He went off alive and well, and then effected this last feat. Through me. Me. Not through you. Dismiss that fear. 'Twas you hindered me staying here to save her, not from leaving you and going back to him and doing service in Arezzo. Come. Instruct me in procedure. I conceive, in all due self-abasement, might I speak, how you will deal with Guido. Oh, not death. Death if it let her life be. Otherwise, not death. Your lights will teach you clearer. I certainly have an instinct of my own in the matter. Bear with me and weigh its worth. Let us go away. Leave Guido all alone, back on the world again that knows him now. I think he will be found indulged so far. Not to die so much as slide out of life, pushed by the general horror and common hate, low, lower, left of the very ledge of things. I seem to see him catch convulsively, one by one, at all honest forms of life, at reason, order, decency and use, to cramp him and get foothold by at least. And still they disengaged them from his clutch. "What, you are he then, had Pompilia once, and so forewent her? Take not up with us." And thus I see him slowly and surely edged off all the tableland whence life upsprings, aspiring to be immortality, as the snake, hatched on hilltop by mischance, despite his wriggling, slips, slides, slithers down hillside, lies low and prostrate on the smooth level of the outer place, lapsed in the veil. So I lose Guido in the loneliness, silence, and dusk, till at the doleful end, at the horizontal line, creation's verge, from what just is to absolute nothingness. Whom is it, straining onward still, he meets? What other man deep further in the fate, who, turning at the prize of a footfall, to flatter him and promise fellowship, discovers in the act a frightful face, Judas made monstrous by much solitude? The two are at one now. Let them love their love that bites and claws like hate, or hate their hate that mops and mows and makes as it were love. There, let them each tear each in devil's fun, or fondle this the other while malice aches. Both teach, both learn detestability. Kiss him the kiss, Iscariot. Pay that back, that smatch of the slaver blistering on your lip. By the better trick, the insult he spared Christ. Lure him the lure of the letters, Aretine. Lick him o'er slimy smooth with jelly filth of the verse and prose pollution in love's guise. The cockatrice is with the basilisk. There let them grapple, denizens of the dark, foes or friends, but indissolubly bound, in their one spot out of the ken of God or care of man, forever and evermore. Why, sirs, what's this? Why, this is sorry and strange. Futility, divagation. This for me, bound to be rational, justify an act of sober man. Whereas, being moved so much, I give you cause to doubt the lady's mind. A pretty sarcasm for the world. I fear you do her wit injustice. All through me. Like my fate all through. Ineffective help. A poor rash advocate I prove myself. You might be angry with good cause, but sure at the advocate. Only at the undue zeal that spoils the force of his own plea, I think. My part was just to tell you how things stand, state facts, and not be flustered at their fume. But then, 'tis a priest speaks. As for love, no. If you let buzz a vulgar fly like that about your brains, as if I loved, forsooth. Indeed, sirs, you do wrong. We had no thought of such infatuation, she and I. There are many points that prove it. Do be just. I told you, at one little roadside place I spent a good half hour, paced to and fro the garden, just to leave her free a while. I plucked a handful of spring herb and bloom. I might have sat beside her on the bench where the children were. I wish the thing had been, indeed. The event could not be worse, you know. One more half hour of her saved. She's dead now, sirs. While I was running on at such a rate, friends should have plucked me by the sleeve. I went too much of the trivial outside of her face and the purity that shone there. Plain to me, not to you. What more natural? Nor am I infatuated. Oh, I saw, be sure. Her brow had not the right line. Leaned too much, painters would say. They liked the straight-up Greek. This seemed bent somewhat with an invisible crown of martyr and saint, not such as art approves. And how the dark orbs dwelt deep underneath, looked out of such a sad, sweet heaven on me. The lips compressed a little, came forward too, careful for a whole world of sin and pain. That was the face her husband makes his plea. He sought just to disfigure. No offense beyond that. Sirs, let us be rational. He needs must vindicate his honor, eh? Yet shirks the coward, in a clown's disguise, away from the scene, endeavors to escape. Now, had he done so, slain and left no trace of the slayer, what were vindicated, pray? You had found his wife disfigured or a corpse? For what and by whom? It is too palpable. Then, here's another point involving law. I use this argument to show you meant no calumny against us by that title of the sentence. Liars try to twist it so. What penalty it bore I had to pay, till further proof should follow of innocence. Probationis ob defectum. Proof? How could you get proof without trying us? You went through the preliminary form, stopped there, contrived this sentence to amuse the adversary. If the title ran, for more than fault imputed and not proved, that was a simple penman's error, else a slip in the phrase, as when we say of you, charged with injustice. Which may either be or not be. 'Tis a name that sticks meanwhile. Another relevant matter. Fool that I am. Not what I wish true, yet a point friends urge. It is not true. Yet since friends think it helps. She only tried me when some others failed. Began with Conti, whom I told you of, and Guillichini, Guido's kinsmen both. And when abandoned by them, not before, turned to me. That's conclusive why she turned. Much good they got by the happy cowardice. Conti is dead, poisoned a month ago. Does that much strike you as a sin? Not much, after the present murder. One mark more on the Moor's skin. What is black by blacker still? Conti had come here and told truth, and so with Guillichini. He's condemned, of course, to the galleys, as a friend in this affair. Tried and condemned for no one thing in the world, a fortnight since by who but the governor? The just judge, who refused Pompilia help at first blush, being her husband's friend, you know. There are two tales to suit the separate courts, Arezzo and Rome. He tells you here we fled, alone, unhelped, lays stress on the main fault, the spiritual sin Rome looks to. But elsewhere, he likes best we should break in, steal, bear off, be fit to brand and pillory and flog. That's the charge goes to the heart of the governor. If these unpriest me, you and I may yet converse, Vincenzo Marzi Medici. Oh, sirs, there are worse men than you, I say. More easily duped, I mean. This stupid lie its liar never dared propound in Rome. He gets Arezzo to receive. Nay more, gets Florence and the Duke to authorize. This is their Rota's sentence, their Grand Duke signs and seals. Rome for me henceforward, Rome, where better men are. Most of all that man, the Augustinian of the hospital, who writes the letter. He confessed, he says, many a dying person, never one so sweet and true and pure and beautiful. A good man. Will you make him pope some day? Not that he is not good, too, this we have, but old. Else he would have his word to speak, his truth to teach the world. I thirst for truth, but shall not drink it till I reach the source. Sirs, I am quiet again. You see, we are so very pitiable, she and I, who had conceivably been otherwise. Forget this temperature and idle heat. Apart from truth's sake, what's to move so much? Pompilia will be presently with God. I am, on earth, as good as out of it, a relegated priest. When exile ends, I mean to do my duty and live long. She and I are mere strangers now. But priests should study passion. How else cure mankind who come for help in passionate extremes? I do but play with an imagined life, of who, unfettered by a vow, unblessed by the higher call, since you will have it so, leads it companioned by the woman there, to live and see her learn, and learn by her, out of the low, obscure, and petty world. Or only see one purpose and one will evolve themselves in the world, change wrong to right, to have to do with nothing but the true, the good, the eternal, and these not alone in the main current of the general life, but small experiences of every day, concerns of the particular hearth and home, to learn not only by a comet's rush, but a rose's birth, not by the grandeur God, but the comfort Christ. All this, how far away! Mere delectation, meet for a minute's dream. Just as a drudging student trims his lamp, opens his Plutarch, puts him in the place of Roman, Grecian, draws the patched gown close, dreams, thus should I fight, save, or rule the world. Then smiling, contentedly awakes to the old solitary nothingness. So I, from such communion, pass content. Oh, great, just, good God! Miserable me! End of Part 6 of Book 6. End of Book 6.